Ave Maria, welcome to Pro-Life to the Max, a weekly half-hour radio program under the patronage of St. Maximilian Mary Colby that is dedicated to keeping you informed on local, state, and national pro-life issues and efforts and inspiring you to get involved. I'm Rhonda Branham, joined with my co-host Monica Siefker, and on today's program, we're going to be talking about the upcoming 40 Days for Life campaign, which is scheduled to start on Ash Wednesday, March 6th, and run through Palm Sunday, April 14th. Monica and I are going to discuss the whys and the hows of these campaigns. But first things first, let's start off in prayer, invoking the intercession of our patron, St. Maximilian Colby.
St. Maximilian Colby, hear this prayer of supplication that we address to you with confidence. St. Maximilian, we honor your life that was guided by the unshakable faith in the mystery of the Incarnation. We admire your public witness for the sanctity of life and your ultimate sacrifice for the life of another when you offered yourself to save a fellow prisoner. We pray, please move the consciences of those contemplating abortion. Please move to repentance and healing the women and men who have chosen abortion over the gift of life. Please intercede for all unborn children. Pray that their mothers will see, hear, and know that what they carry in their womb is a person, a special and unique gift from God our Creator. Please comfort women who suffer from post-abortion trauma and inspire them to seek help. Please sustain the courage and wisdom of the pro-life movement so that we may be peaceful witnesses to the sanctity of life. Please move the hearts of our lawmakers, judges, and fellow citizens so the scourge of abortion will no longer be the law of the land. We ask these things in the name of Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen.
Let's go now to this week's In the News.
This past Monday, the U.S. Senate voted 53-44 against a measure that would have required medical care to babies born alive after a failed abortion. The vote for the Born Alive Survivors Protection Act failed to meet the 60 votes needed to end a filibuster. Conservatives were quick to renounce the senator's iniquitous vote, with Ben Shapiro calling it repulsive and Matt Walsh tweeting that the vast majority of Senate Democrats who voted against the bill are, quote, officially and on the record for endorsing the murder of born infants, end quote. Democratic presidential candidates Cory Booker, Elizabeth Warren, Bernie Sanders, Kamala Harris, and Kirsten Gillibrand all voted no for providing medical care to infants born alive after an attempted abortion. It's estimated that 1,200 babies survive abortions and are born alive in the U.S. every year. And the CEO of Planned Parenthood, Leanna Wen, tweeted her opposition to the Born Alive Survivors Protection Act this past Monday by saying that the Senate was voting on a bill that criminalizes doctors for a practice that doesn't exist in medicine or reality. In direct contrast to Wen's thinking, the Abortion Survivors Network, founded by abortion survivor Melissa Oden, has helped over 250 people who have been born alive following an abortion attempt. Oden and other survivors have recently been trying to share with the media their own personal stories of survival and their thoughts on the recent extreme abortion legislation that is sweeping the nation. Planned Parenthood's Wen said, "We must call the Born Alive Survivors Protection Act out for what it is. A direct attack on women's health and rights." Wen made no mention, however, of the attacks on the health and rights of the innocent females who are born alive after a botched abortion. Democratic New York Representative Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez raised eyebrows when, while live streaming a conversation with her supporters from her kitchen recently, she asked the question, "Is it okay to still have children because of global warming?" Ocasio-Cortez said that there is a scientific consensus that the lives of children are going to be very difficult, and it does lead, I think, young people to have a legitimate question. She went on to further call the query a basic moral question. In early February, the freshman Democrat introduced the Green New Deal, which calls for a complete overhauling of the U.S. economy and transportation system in order to get greenhouse gas emissions to net zero, as well as calling for the implementation of welfare policies that many label as socialist. A baby boy delivered at just 24 weeks gestation was recently released from a hospital in Japan after spending 5 5 months in intensive care. Delivered by C-section last August in Tokyo because his life was in danger, the young boy is now said to be over 7 pounds and growing normally. The little boy, who weighed in at just under 10 ounces at delivery, has seemingly set the record for being the smallest preemie to be discharged from a hospital in good health. In developed nations like Japan, the survival rate of low birth weight babies under 35 ounces is said to be as high as 90% because of recent medical advancements. And finally, an estimated 15 abortions were performed at the Bloomington Planned Parenthood this past Thursday as prayer warriors gathered to pray and sidewalk advocates reached out to offer help. Local pro-lifers are hopeful that the rapidly approaching 40 Days for Life campaign will bring with it a continued decrease in abortion numbers. The International Prayer and Fasting Campaign to End Abortion starts this coming Ash Wednesday with a special prayer hour from 9 to 10 a.m. at the Bloomington Planned Parenthood. If you can't be there in person on Wednesday morning, you can listen right here on Womb Catholic Radio at 9 a.m. to pray along. And that's your weekly In the News.
So, Monica, we talk a lot about 40 Days for Life on these programs, don't we?
Yeah, we sure do, Rhonda, and there's a reason for that. 40 Days for Life is built upon the premise and our Lord's own words that certain evils can only be driven out through prayer and fasting. And that's why we believe that holding 40 Days for Life campaigns is so necessary. Our Lord also said that by their fruits you will know them. And every good tree bears good fruit. And we certainly see this from 40 Days for Life campaigns. Since 2007, well over 15,000 babies and moms have been saved from abortion. 186 abortion workers have experienced a conversion and left the abortion industry, with many of these ex-workers now even working and volunteering in the pro-life movement. And 99 abortion centers have closed where a 40 Days for Life campaign had been held. Over 816 cities throughout 56 countries in the world have hosted 40 Days for Life campaigns, and the momentum just keeps building.
Those are some very impressive numbers, to be sure. And it's worth asking, what is it about 40 Days for Life campaigns that make them so fruitful? And I think one of the major reasons is that the prayer is going on precisely where the evil is taking place, in front of abortion facilities. We should already be praying for an end to abortion within our homes and in our churches in front of the Blessed Sacrament. But our love for life must absolutely go further and become incarnational. St. Mother Teresa of Calcutta used to say, "Love has a hem to her garment that reaches the very dust. It sweeps the stains from the streets and the lanes, and because it can, it must."
Yeah, I love that quote, Rhonda. St. Mother Teresa of Calcutta had her sisters spend time every day in the presence of our Lord in Eucharistic adoration. Then they would go out to the streets to bring that divine love, which they had just filled themselves with, to the poorest of the poor. And you know, we do a very similar thing during these 40 Days for Life campaigns. We commit to prayer and fasting and carrying Jesus in our hearts, bringing him to the spiritually impoverished there at 421 South College Avenue. And when we do this, Christ begins to really work through us, even if we never say a word.
Monica, there are so many stories of women who had scheduled an abortion and then changed their mind when they saw someone standing and praying outside of an abortion center. One quick example is of a woman who had initially gone into the abortion facility, but then came back out. She exclaimed to the prayer warrior, "It was that rosary. That rosary you were praying for me changed my mind. A beautiful child is alive now because someone made the effort to go and stand outside of the abortion facility to pray." Another participant recalls how a woman would drive by often, making rude gestures and shouting obscenities. But then the woman saw someone holding a sign that said, "Women deserve love, not abortion," and her heart was softened. She stopped to talk and revealed that she had once had an abortion. There was a lot of pain there, and after speaking with the participant, she left, seeing things a bit differently now. I'll return to St. Mother Teresa and her response when asked by a reporter if she thought she could really be successful in her efforts, considering how many poor people there are in the world. Mother Teresa told the reporter, "God doesn't ask me to be successful, only to be faithful, to do his will and help one person at a time.
Yeah, don't you just love St. Mother Teresa?
Yes.
Yeah, Rhonda, that little story about the young lady who saw the prayer warrior with her rosary in hand praying reminds me of a quote from another great saint named Teresa, Teresa of Avila. She said, "Christ has no body now but yours, no hands, no feet on earth but yours. Yours are the eyes through which he looks with compassion upon this world. Yours are the feet with which he walks to do good. Yours are the hands through which he blesses all the world." We know that God could end abortion and save lives without our help. But we also know that in the economy of salvation, God chooses and, dare I say, depends upon us, his poor, weak servants, to be an instrumental cause in this work of saving lives and souls. And while it's very important for us to remember that we are simply the instrumental cause and not the principal agent in the work, it is also equally important that we remember that we have the obligation to be Christ's body for others, especially to the weakest and most vulnerable among us. That's why being physically present to pray in front of an abortion facility plays an indispensable and great part in helping to end abortion. Even if we never saw any fruit or successes, we would still need to be out there.
So, Monica, what do we say to someone who has participated in past 40 Days for Life campaigns and they are discouraged, or they think, "I never see anything happen. I've never had anyone come up to me and to tell me that they chose life. All I ever get while I'm there is blank stares or worse, persecution."
Yeah, we all struggle with this, don't we, Rhonda?
Certainly.
Because the fact of the matter is that God doesn't normally permit us to see much fruit right now here on earth from our efforts. That's because he wants to build the virtue of faith in us. St. Augustine said that faith is to believe what you do not see. So we must have faith that our prayers, sacrifices, and efforts are being used by God to help end abortion and build up a culture of life, even if we do not see any signs of it. And the stronger our faith and trust in God become, the more generous we become with our prayers and penances.
In the canonically approved apparitions of Our Lady of America, our Lord told Sister Mary Ephraim that what he found most lacking in the world was faith. He told her, "There are so few souls that believe in me and my love. They profess their belief and their love, but they do not live this belief. Their hearts are cold, for without faith there can be no love. Pray and sacrifice yourselves so that faith may once again find entrance into the hearts of men."
And that's a lot to ponder in our hearts, Rhonda. Participating in 40 Days for Life campaigns is a very good way to exercise our faith and to comfort the heart of Jesus by simply saying things like, "Jesus, I trust in you. I'm here praying in front of this abortion facility because I firmly believe that you will use my time, prayers, and sacrifices here to end abortion, convert hearts, and build up a culture of life."
Absolutely.
Rhonda, I'd like to share an experience that I had during last fall's 40 Days for Life campaign, and it's a lesson on how even when our faith is weak, God is still at work and wants to make our faith stronger. Now, this incident happened on a glorious feast day for the church, All Saints Day, November 1st. The only problem was I wasn't feeling too glorious. All Saints Day fell on a Thursday, Abortion Day. So you and I, you know, along with all the regulars, were down there at Planned Parenthood trying to show love to the women going in and offering them help. What had been a long day and a very busy day, over 30 women had gone in for an abortion. Now, it was around 6 o'clock in the evening, and I found myself standing alone there at 421 South College Avenue out in that public alleyway. The rain was pouring down and temperatures dropping. There were still several women inside, and as they would come out, I'd call out to them, offering prayers and post-abortion material. Now, all day long, my faith had been ebbing, seeing so many women going in and not being able to reach a single one. I was not only tired and frustrated at being there all day, I was tired of 40 Days for Life, I'll admit it. So like the raindrops from the sky, tears began to fall from my eyes. I tried to console myself by thinking of all the saints in heaven joyfully singing their praises to the Lamb who sits upon the throne and just, you know, how happy they are. They are the ones who have survived the time of great tribulation and suffering here on earth, as Revelation 7:14 ran through my mind. You know, and unfortunately, this thought really didn't change my mood much, and I was back on my pity pot and literally crying for all the children who had been killed there that day and weeping at the thought of how seemingly useless my time had been there that day. Well, at this point, a young lady came out with a male companion, and I called out to her and said, "I'm praying for you." She happened to turn and said, "What did you say?" And amidst my tears, I repeated, "I'm praying for you." Then something remarkable happened that I didn't expect. She walked over to where I was standing, grabbed onto me, and started crying intensely. And we cried together for a few moments. And then she began saying some incredible things like, "It's so evil in there. Something's not right in there. The workers treat us so badly. They don't care about us." And she literally clung to me tightly for several minutes and sobbed as she said these things. And I didn't say much at all. I just listened and I held her. She finally said, "I couldn't do it. I didn't go through with the abortion. Thank you for being here." And with that, she left. And it was just this improbable exchange that is still etched in my mind and heart. God was speaking loudly and clearly to not only me, but to all of us who pray there, that He is at work. He is hearing our prayers. We just need to have the faith and perseverance to keep at it to the very end. We don't always know whom we are helping, but rest assured, the grace of God is at work.
The psalmist says, "I cried to the Lord and He answered me." And miraculous stories like these, Monica, are occurring throughout the world, wherever 40 Days for Life campaigns are going on. You know, persevering in these intense prayer campaigns reminds me of another story called Pushing Against the Rock. And here's the story. A man was sleeping at night in his cabin when suddenly his room filled with light and the Savior appeared. The Lord told the man He had work for him to do and showed him a large rock in front of his cabin. The Lord explained that the man was to push against the rock with all his might. This the man did, day after day. For many years he toiled from sun up to sundown, his shoulders set squarely against the cold, massive surface of the unmoving rock, pushing it with all his might. Each night the man returned to his cabin sore and worn out, feeling that his whole day had been spent in vain. Noticing that the man was showing signs of discouragement, the adversary decided to enter the picture by placing thoughts into the man's weary mind. "You have been pushing against this rock for a long time and it hasn't budged. Why kill yourself over this? You're never going to move it," thus giving the man the impression that the task was impossible and that he was a failure. These troubling thoughts discouraged and disheartened the man. "Why kill myself over this? I'll just put in my time, giving just the minimum effort, and that will be good enough." And that's what he planned to do until one day he decided to make it a matter of prayer and take his thoughts to the Lord. "Lord," he said, "I have labored long and hard in your service, putting all my strength to do which you have asked. Yet after all this time, I have not even been able to budge that rock. What is wrong? Why am I failing?" The Lord responded compassionately to him, "My friend, when I asked you to serve me and you accepted, I told you that your task was to push against the rock with all your strength, which you have done. Never once did I mention to you that I expected you to move it. Your task was to push, and now you come to me with your strength spent, thinking that you have failed. But is that really so? Look at yourself. Your arms are strong and muscled, your back sinewy and brown, your hands are callous from constant pressure, and your legs have become massive and hard. Through opposition, you have grown much, and your abilities now surpass that which you used to have. Yet you haven't moved that rock. But your calling was to be obedient and to push and to exercise your faith and trust in my wisdom. This you have done. I, my friend, will now move that rock."
And don't we feel that way so often, Rhonda, in trying to end abortion, you know, and build up a culture of life and purity? It's a great story. We are out there pushing and pushing that rock week after week, month after month, year after year, and nothing seems to be happening. It's just not budging. But we are not the ones who are going to move the rock. That's God's job. All he wants us to do is to labor at it as we build up virtue, and then at the perfect moment, he's going to move that rock. Our Lord said in Matthew 17:20, "If you have faith the size of a mustard seed, you will say to this mountain, 'Move from here to there,' and it will move, and nothing will be impossible to you." Faith can move mountains.
Monica, we've talked a lot today about why to sign up to pray at the Bloomington Planned Parenthood during 40 Days for Life campaigns. So before we end the program today, let's quickly talk about how to pray while standing outside of an abortion facility, because the whole idea of going to stand in front of an abortion center is very off-putting to a lot of people, and they might find it a difficult place to pray. And it really takes us out of our comfort zones, doesn't it?
Yeah.
But we must get out there and push against that rock. So what prayer ideas can we give our listeners while they are out there at 421 South College Avenue?
Well, Rhonda, I know we've heard from participants in these 40 Days for Life campaigns that actually say some of their best prayer times have come while praying in front of the Bloomington Planned Parenthood, and that's just the work and the grace of the Holy Spirit. But basically, there's no wrong way to pray there. Our very presence, especially when we are in a state of grace, brings the flame of light and truth to a place of darkness. And that's a powerful prayer in and of itself. Now, we do have prayer books available that contain some beautiful meditations on the mysteries of the Holy Rosary, different litanies, scripture readings, and even a way of the cross for the victims of abortion. And listeners can obtain these prayer books for free by going to 40daysforlife.com/Bloomington. That's 40daysforlife.com/Bloomington. And using the contact information that is there on the right side of the homepage, they can request a prayer book. Now, it's also very important that participants are visible and not just in their vehicles. This sacrifice shows our love for the workers and the clients going in. You can stand, walk, or kneel on the public sidewalk, or even in the south alley in between the parking lots. If you're not able to stand for long periods, you can bring along a chair and place it there in the verge. The important thing is that we remain visible, unless the weather, of course, would make it imprudent for us to do so. And we just want to maintain a peaceful, prayerful countenance and just radiate the love of Christ to others.
So, Monica, let's talk about the posture of kneeling when in prayer. In Acts 9:40, we read that Peter knelt down and prayed. Kneeling is a most powerful witness, and it can be a sign of humility when done with the right intention. As we kneel on the concrete sidewalk there, we can offer up the penance and pray something like, "I kneel before you, Father, acknowledging you as the creator of all things. Our hearts are as hard as this concrete which I kneel upon. Please send your graces down upon us so that our hearts will be softened to hear your word and transform our community into a culture of life." And this is from Ephesians 3:14.
Yeah, that's beautiful, Rhonda. I think the most important thing we can do is to just beg the Holy Spirit to come and fill us with the divine fire of his love. When we love as God loves, this will impel us to get out there, and the Holy Spirit will direct our prayer using both prayers of thanksgiving and praise and prayers of petition. We will look with love upon the workers and the women going in, and we will be moved to offer up sacrifices on their behalf. And that's what these campaigns are all about. And we do have help for women right next door at the Women's Care Center, so we can direct them over there.
Now, Monica, we are rapidly running out of time, so let's get to our action item for the week, which is, of course, signing up to participate in this 2019 Lenten 40 Days for Life campaign, which will run from Ash Wednesday, March 6th, through Palm Sunday, April 14th. We need lots of help covering the Bloomington Planned Parenthood in prayer from 8 a.m. until 8 p.m. for these 40 consecutive days. You can sign up using the online schedule at 40daysforlife.com/Bloomington. There are also special events planned during the campaign, and you can view those there as well.
Rhonda, before we say our goodbyes, I want to give one final motivation for people to get involved with 40 Days for Life. And this reason actually comes from the Vatican II document called the Constitution on the Sacred Liturgy. And the Council Fathers' words seem quite prescient in relation to the 40 Days for Life. Here it is, quote, "During Lent, penance should not only be internal and individual, but also external and social," end quote. And with that in mind, we hope to see you on the sidewalks there at 421 South College Avenue. Thank you for being with us today on Pro-Life to the Max. Until next time, let us heed the warning of St. Maximilian Mary Kolbe that the most deadly poison of our time is indifference. Let's pray for one another that we may be consumed with a desire to save lives and souls, to give the greatest possible honor and glory to God. Ave Maria.
Ave Maria.